You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and that's what you used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I am joined by Tom Simon, the Director of Live Events for Traditional Championship Wrestling. We're going to talk about TCW, the Cauliflower Alley Club, and the state of independent wrestling. It should be an interesting interview. Tom Simon, welcome to OWW Radio. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, David. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, it was nice seeing you recently in Las Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. Always a good time out there. How many reunions have you been to now?
This year was my fifth in a row. And when I went to the first one, I made up my mind at that point that I was never going to miss one again. The fellowship and the camaraderie out there, basically the brotherhood, seeing all your friends getting together and being able to catch up on old times and, you know, what's happened over the past year. A lot of the guys from California that come in from Vendetta Pro, they TCW, Traditional Championship Wrestling, who I am very close to, and Vendetta Pro have been responsible for the meat of the show on Monday night the last 2 years. So anytime mm-hmm. I see Billy Blade, I always have a smile on my face because eventually, it's going to get to a point, and it may be next year where the show has become so big that they're going to spread it over two nights instead of just one night.
And the show, of course, you're talking about is the Casino Royale 2013 wrestling show that is now really a tradition. It's Monday night of the CAC reunion. And as you said, Tom, the show has really grown. I mean, there were, four or five different promotions running matches that night.
Right. I know that it gives the wrestlers who are traveling in, those that are still active, an opportunity to showcase their talents. A lot of the guys out on the West Coast come in just strictly for the opportunity to be on the show. And the best way that you can do that to get that many guys in, and I worked at the one before last year, the one that was held off of, away from the hotel that Future Stars of Wrestling was responsible for. I happened to be in the main event that night. But the great thing about it is you get so many people, so many workers coming in and wanting to work that they last year went to the Casino Royale. Last year was won by Rock Riddle. B. Brian Blair was number two in and the last man eliminated. And so it gives a lot of people an opportunity to showcase their talents. TCW had three matches on this year's show, and I would venture to say I'd put my guys up against anybody out there because they really stepped it up. Kincaid, who a lot of people on the East Coast and the Midwest have heard of, he is our junior heavyweight champion right now in TCW. He also holds belts in a couple of other promotions at the same time, so he's the kind of guy that everybody wants to hang their hat on. And he went up against Spanky, Brian Kendrick, gave the fans a great, great display. They were the second match out of the shoot, and
yep.
after the first match with Billy Blade, I said let's put Kincaid and Kendrick on second because it would be a total 180 in styles from the brawling style of Billy Blade, and you could turn around and you got very high flying, high speed action with Kincaid in Kendrick, and the crowd absolutely ate it up. You see the guys like Les Thatcher standing at the back of the chairs, and they're just watching and enjoying the action.
It's a great showcase for a lot of these wrestlers in front of a pretty important audience, right? I mean, there's some important people that come to this show. Of course, there's a lot of fans, but you mentioned Les Thatcher and other people in the Cauliflower Alley Club. It's a great chance to make a very strong impression. And I have to say a personal thank you to you, because I've been ring announcing a few of the shows now, and every year I'm trying to learn as much as I can, of course, from others. You've been very helpful. And so I just wanted to thank you for the advice you've given me over the years on how to be a better ring announcer.
David, it's my pleasure.
Well, I want to ask you, were you always a fan of professional wrestling? How did you start, first of all, becoming a fan and then transition to working in this industry?
Well, I come from the St. Louis area, and the St. Louis area was the cradle of professional wrestling, in my opinion, because in the National Wrestling Alliance, there was one man in charge, and that was the president of the National Wrestling Alliance, Sam Muchnick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sam Muchnick was the promoter in St. Louis of the St. Louis Wrestling Club, so he had the ability to book just about anybody he wanted to. Always had the world champion as many times as any promoter did during the year. A lot of the world champions around that time worked out of St. Louis, like Lou Thesz,
mm-hmm.
Pat O'Connor. You know, these guys, in fact, Harley Race worked out of Kansas City, but he was over in St. Louis quite a bit. All of these guys worked out of St. Louis because they knew that Sam Muchnick was the man. And so when I was a youngster, I was watching every 3 weeks, I was watching the shows at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis. When I got a little bit older, I also developed an affection for roller derby, or the roller games, as they call it in Los Angeles. And the Thunderbirds from L.A. were touring in the Midwest, and they had established a team in the Midwest called, uniquely enough, the Midwest Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds, what they would do is they do Chicago on Friday night, a regional town on Saturday night, either Hammond, Indiana, Cincinnati, Louisville, Indianapolis, a number of different towns that were available. And then on Sunday afternoon, they'd finish up at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis.
Hmm.
They'd do that every week. Well, Chet Kopick was the trackside announcer and also did the local TV up in Chicago, the local cutaways, the interviews and things like that, when the T-Birds were touring. And I'd go to the games, and I became friends with the scoreboard operator. In fact, I would help him operate the scoreboard because it was a union job, but he couldn't stand the games. So he had to sit there with his hand on the scoreboard, but I would let him know how many points were scored and who scored which team scored them and when to start and stop the clock and things like that. And Chet would be sitting on the other side of the scoreboard operator. Well, one Sunday afternoon, I'm sitting there in my seat keeping score, and the scoreboard operator sitting there, and it was a strange voice. Chet wasn't there. In fact, it was Pete Kelly, who is the one of the skaters from the Australian Kangaroos.
Okay.
And Pete came over and was touring with what they call the Redshirt team at the time, and Pete was injured. So they decided, since Chet wasn't there and Pete was injured, they were going to put him on the microphone. If you've ever seen roller games or watched, roller games, the trackside announcer is probably the most important part of the fan experience, because he is the one who prompts the crowd to yell, go, 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 and then, he's actually doing play-by-play on the house PA, announcing who the jammers are and coming up to the back of the pack and who's on defense and everything else and, getting the crowd into it.
Okay.
Well, Pete Kelly was doing none of that. In fact, if he was lucky, he was mentioning who scored.
Do you see an opportunity here?
Well, I saw Pete was very uncomfortable doing it. He really wasn't enjoying himself. And the crowd was, you've heard the expression, you could hear crickets.
Yeah.
You could absolutely hear crickets in the Kiel Auditorium. So I asked Pete, I said, look, you're not enjoying this. The crowd's not enjoying this. Would you like some help? And I'd done some announcing, before. I played in a band, from when I was 16 years old. So I was used to talking and, performing in front of a crowd.
Right.
So he says, oh, please do. Please help. So I got on the mic, and this was like the third or fourth period, and it was an eight-period game. So about midway through the third period, we start getting the crowd, ramped up, and we're, everybody's going, go, go. And I mean, by the end of the first half, the crowd was back in the game. The T-Birds were skating their, tails off. Everybody on the track was enjoying it. Everybody in the crowd was enjoying it. We had about 7,000 people there at the Kiel.
Wow, it's a good crowd.
They always had a great crowd. I mean, the capacity of the Kiel was between 11 and 12,000 because they could seat some on the floor.
Sure.
Not as many as they could for wrestling, but it was still a good crowd. Halftime comes. I usually go get a soda or something, and the union guy takes his break, and so I'm sitting there at the table with my soda, and Pete comes back out. And I said, what are you doing out here? We still got 10 minutes to go. He says, come with me. So I didn't know what was happening. I walk with Pete. As soon as we get through the doorway towards the dressing rooms, I hear this big voice that says, who in the hell told you that you could get on my microphone? I turn around, and it's Jess Adams.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Jess was, for years and years, Philadelphia Warriors. He was the general manager. He was, the Red Devils. He was one of the great, great managers and skaters of the time. And Jess happened to be the road manager that day with the clubs. He was the guy in charge. And I told him, I said, I don't know if you were paying attention, but the crowd was dead. Pete wasn't enjoying it. He didn't really want to be out there.
Right.
I just figured I'd help. I offered my help. Pete gladly accepted it. We got the crowd up. The crowd's in the game now. He says, well, all right, but you come back and see me after the game. Well, you don't know exactly what to think at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, if this is my one chance to get involved in the business, then so be it. So we finish up the game. Everybody's happy. The T-Birds win. At the end of the game, he goes, you didn't do badly. Have you done this before? I said, no, I've just watched a lot and watched how the announcers interact with the crowd and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, what are you doing next weekend? I said, why? He says, well, Kopic quit on us, and he just got tired of traveling, and so we're looking for an announcer. We were going to have to fly Ed Darien out from the East Coast to work this tour, but if you're available, we'll get you up to Chicago on Friday. You do the Friday night game. You do the Saturday night game. Sunday, you're back in St. Louis. We'll give you X amount of dollars for the weekend, put you up in a hotel, and that's it. And we'll go from there. And I go, well, that sounds great.
How old were you, Tom, at this time?
This was 1975. Mm-hmm. I was 23 years old.
Okay, great.
And had just come back from college and, looking for my first great job. And this happened to come up, so I spent a year and a half with the Thunderbirds. The last 45 days before they closed up shop in the Midwest was a 45-day, 15,000-mile tour.
Oh, God.
In Winnebagoes. That wouldn't be bad, but it was just the girls.
Okay.
So any guy that was there was on the track crew. Overnight, you know, we'd drive to this next county fair. There were a few days off in there, but most of the time they were spaced out enough to where we'd drive from one fair to the other. Yeah. Get up in the morning, set up the track, you know, get cleaned up, do the show. You know, the girls would skate. We had a skating bear who was David Arndt from the Philadelphia Warriors. He wore this bear suit and skated around. And we had a juggler and his wife, and he juggled axes. The guy's name was Bill King. And that was part of the halftime entertainment. After the show's over, we tear down the track, throw it in the semi, move on to the next town. And 45 days, 15,000 miles, and at the end, I was never so happy to see Collinsville, Illinois in my life.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because there's a lot of parallels here to professional wrestling, right? Going from town to town, setting up the track, setting up the ring, as it were, you know?
That made the transition into wrestling very easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys in the wrestling business around the St. Louis area, you know, the local promotions had seen me at the Keel. They saw me. You know, I'd also visit Larry Matisick every once in a while. Larry and I have known each other. Oh goodness, it was right about a year before then that I refereed high school sports and junior high sports. I refereed junior high volleyball for Larry Matisick's daughter.
Huh.
In Belleville, Illinois. She went to MG Middle School, MG Junior High, and I refereed their volleyball games, and Larry and Pat were always at the game. So I'd see Larry there, and I'd go, hi, and then he'd see me at the wrestling matches, and he'd go, how you doing, Tom? And I'd say, I'm doing fine, and he knew I was doing the roller derby thing as well. So I get to visit with Larry every once in a while, and a lot of the guys in the promotions around would, you know, knew that I was available, mm-hmm. but they had their ring announcers. Since I refereed, it was an easy transition for me to, you know, do spot shows and referee because, you know, I was a fan of wrestling. I was a fan of roller derby. I watched the whole product, not just the wrestlers. I watched how the referees, and in St. Louis, in Sam Muchnick's promotion, the referees never bumped.
Okay.
You did not touch the referees. This is very, very old school. You never touch the referees because they were there to do a job. They weren't part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They came in. It didn't matter who they were. With the rare exception of when Gene Kaniski was a guest referee or somebody like that, and they were involved in the match. But
sure, yeah.
These guys were not workers. Charlie Vinader, Joe Schoenberger, Benny Ramirez, all of these guys were just strictly referees. And Sam said, nobody touches my referees. A couple times it happened, and those guys, those wrestlers, they were mid-carders, but those wrestlers never came back. Were never rebooked in St. Louis. And this was every 3 weeks, so, I mean, it was a nice little payday. They'd do St. Louis on Friday night, spot show on Saturday night, and then on Sunday, they'd go to the Chase Hotel and do 3 hours of TV, Wrestling at the Chase, which was an awesome show. It's where Joe Garagiola got his start announcing.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was one of the first announcers for Wrestling at the Chase. Also, George Abel, who was a local weatherman and the sidekick of Charlotte Peters. Now I'm dating myself terribly, but George Abel did Charlotte Peters' show during the week, but he did wrestling on the weekends. And it worked out real well that way. And everybody was happy. So the promoters would, you know, from time to time use me, and there was one promoter, local promoter in St. Louis. His name was Steve Murphy. Well, it still is because Steve's still around. But Steve had the ability to, at the time, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had a telephone service where you know, look in the in the Yellow Pages, and it had the listing for, you know, you could get horoscopes or, you know, stock quotes and everything else. It was all pre-recorded or live. This was before streaming. This was before the internet was big.
Mm-hmm.
This was where you could call and get Black Jack Brown's report twice a week. You call Post Line, and there was an extension for pro wrestling. There was an extension for what they called the MVWA Pro Report. So being a fan of the business, as well as having worked in it from time to time, Steve Murphy would do the MVWA Pro Report. It was a three-minute report every day. It included WWF, WCW, local promotion news, especially MVWA, the Mississippi Valley Wrestling Alliance.
Okay.
And he would promote his shows using Postline. And so there, he had an announcement on there one time. He says, we're going to have open tryouts for anybody that wants to be in the wrestling business. It's going to happen Saturday afternoon before our show on Saturday night. And the person who impresses everybody the most, the judges, you know, the professionals there, the person that impresses us the most will get to work a match at the show that night. You know,
wow.
And this is it was an open call for guys from all different promotions and everything else, anybody with any experience at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that sounds like fun. I mean, it'd give me a chance to get into one promotion instead of doing, you know, just here, there, and all over the place. So on that Saturday, I had my referee shirt, my black pants, and my black tennis shoes that I'd wear when I refereed basketball or I would referee volleyball, and showed up at this little banquet hall in South County, and they said, well, are you a wrestler? I said, no, I'm a referee. Okay, well, show us what you got. And they did a match, you know, they ran through a match in the ring, and I was in there, and I just refereed like all time, you know, like I've done other times.
Sure.
And so Steve goes, you know, you're really not that bad. You know, we're looking to pick up another referee, too. Would you be interested in you know, signing on with us full-time? And full-time would be, you know, once every 3 weeks. You know, they run a show in the same banquet hall. It was kind of like the precursor to ECW. They ran in one hall.
Okay.
And one hall only. And the capacity was about 250, 300 people. But Steve would have the, you know, he would have guys like Harley Race, guys like Cowboy Bob Orton, you know, guys from Chicago. One of the first nights I worked, Ace Steel and Scrap Iron Adam Pearce were on the card.
Well, very good.
And yeah, and this is when Scrap Iron Adam Pearce had long hair. it was like a mullet, but it was an Uber mullet, as I called it. And so I signed on with the MVWA, and we started doing local TV there. And we had a one-hour show every Saturday morning on cable TV, Charter, and there were two different cable systems in St. Louis, and we were on both of them. We had one-hour show. So we on Sunday afternoons, after the Chase closed down, on Sunday afternoons, we would do 3 hours of taping. We had the TV equipment there. We had cameras. It was a two-camera shoot, you know, one up high on a scaffold and the other one at the ring.
Mm-hmm.
They did live play-by-play. Steve Murphy and Tim Miller, who also worked for the South Broadway Athletic Club promotion. You know, Tim's a great booking mind and just wanted the chance to be able to help out booking anywhere he could. So Tim was a great color analyst and a heel manager. And after a while, we got one of the DJs, local DJs from one of the FM stations in town, KSDFM. The guy's name is Smash. And He used to be in Washington, D.C., and now he's still in radio in St. Louis. Asher Ben Ruby is his name.
Okay.
And Smash is, he loved wrestling. Steve threw an invitation out to him, and Smash came out and was doing color commentary on Sunday afternoons. On Tuesday afternoons, we'd have a 10-15 minute spot on his show on radio.
To kind of promote and talk about what has happened on the show, yeah.
Talk about the TV, talk about what's happening, and, you know, what they can expect to see this week on TV. And it was amazing because I was developing all of this TV experience because on Tuesday night, at the time, I was divorced, and Steve Murphy and I shared an apartment eventually. We would do the studio portion of the show.
Okay.
In the living room of the apartment. Tuesday night was taping night. All the guys that were set to do promos, they'd come over to the apartment. We had the TV equipment all set up, and we would run the show as if it were a live show. We'd go live to tape. We'd have the promo set up. We'd have, you know, the open of the show. We'd go through, and we had our own studio host, Billy McKay, who was a great guy, had never been in the business, but he had a good shtick for TV and had good personality. So I'm sitting back there producing, and, you know, we'd do the studio spot, then we'd go to tape and do the match, come back out, do promos, and just we'd do 60 minutes, and it got to be very easy after a while.
Had it been a lot of fun too, I imagine.
Oh, it was, because especially the guys that we had at the time, there were some unique characters, to say the least. One of my favorite guys was the Punisher. He wore a mask, and but he was very, very unique. I'll leave it at that. Steve Sharp, was our heavyweight champion for a while. Steve also wrestled out of Memphis and wrestled in Arkansas and things like that. So for years we went through, and then I ended up moving to Cincinnati. So I kind of got out of the business for a couple of years, but it was strange. You make your connections, you know, throughout the business, and you never know who you're going to see next. I get a phone call. I lived in Cincinnati for a couple of years with the job I was with, and then I relocated to Hot Springs, Arkansas.
That's what I was going to ask you, Tom. What was your real job at this time, so to speak?
I was an accountant.
Oh, okay.
And I was working for a school bus company and transportation company that was in St. Louis. They moved their accounting office to Cincinnati, and they said, "Do you want to go to Cincinnati?" And I said, "Well, sure, if the money's right." And they showed me what the money was, and I said, "Yeah, I think I'm moving to Cincinnati." So lived in Cincinnati for a couple of years. They lost a couple of contracts, offered me a buyout, and I had a girl, you know, girlfriend, so it was getting pretty serious, and she had moved to Cincinnati.
Okay.
But, you know, when she found out that we had the opportunity to move somewhere else, she said, you know, "I'll do whatever you want, but if we move, can we move back to Arkansas?" Because she was from Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Okay.
And I loved the area when I visited, and it was great. We moved back here to Hot Springs, and I'm still here in Hot Springs. And I get a phone call from Steve Sharp, who is the heavyweight champion in MVWA in St. Louis. Steve calls me, and he says, "They've got this promotion down here in Arkansas. You living down here in Hot Springs now. How'd you like to drive to Morrilton, Arkansas?" Which is not too, you know, it's about an hour away. "Drive to Morrilton, come to the show, you know, meet the guys, give me your opinion of the promotion. Tell me what you think. He says, I think you're going to enjoy the show, but I want you to make up your mind. He says, oh, by the way, bring your stuff with you in case, you know, in case we can throw you in on a match. So I said, yeah, that's fine. So Sunday morning or Saturday about noon, I throw my stuff in the car, drive up to Morrilton, find the gym, walk inside, leave my bag in the car because I figure, well, you know, if I really don't like this promotion or if it looks like a train wreck, at least I don't have to carry my bag out with me when I bail.
Right, I got you.
But I walk in. Steve introduces me to the guys a lot of the guys in the promotion. One of the guys was Bill Ash. He was the booker, one of the bookers for the promotion. And the other guy he introduced me to was Matt Riviera.
Oh.
And so I said, yeah, you know, nice to meet you guys. You know, Steve just wanted me to. And they said, yeah, we know. Steve told us that he was going to have you come up and take a look. And we're glad to have the eyes. We're glad to have a set of experienced eyes. You know, take a fresh look at the product.
Sure.
You know, how we're doing and everything. And Steve's standing in the ring with the guy he's going to work that night. He says, oh, by the way, I want Tom to referee my match. And I'm going, I mean, that's up to you guys. Whatever. If you want me to work, that's fine. You know, I didn't come up here. I didn't want you to think that I came up here to work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need me, I'll be more than happy to throw the stuff on and work. Well, as it ended up, I ended up working half of the matches that night because they only had one other referee, which was fine because I got a chance to really, you know, get to know the guys that were in there.
That's right. It was a great opportunity.
And I hadn't refereed for a couple of years, so I figured, yeah, it'd be good to get back in the ring. So at the end of the night, this is starting to sound familiar. At the end of the night, Matt Riviera and Bill Ash say, look, if you're not doing anything, we've got this show coming up. Seems to be a recurring theme in my life for some reason.
And I always love hearing the stories of how people found their way to professional wrestling, because everyone comes in a different path.
Absolutely, and no two are the same.
Right.
But meeting the guys that I have met throughout the years, you've got guys that absolutely have a passion, a white-hot passion for the business, but can't wrestle their way out of a paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
You feel badly for those guys. So you know, as a referee and as one of the guys on the booking committee for MVWA, I would make suggestions. You know, we'd sit around on Tuesday night after the show was over. We'd have our booking meeting, and we'd say, all right, this is where we go next, and this is what we're going to do. And how do we protect some of these guys that aren't up there at the top? You know, because every promotion has guys that are stronger than others. I mean, I've got to say, though, TCW has, from top to bottom, a very short talent valley. All of these guys are capable of carrying themselves in the ring. The guys that we use, the guys that we bring in, are capable of carrying themselves in the ring, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Matt and everybody else takes such pride and looks for people to bring in,
mm-hmm.
that we know everybody in TCW is handpicked, because if you weren't there, I mean, if you were there, it's because you caught Matt's eye. You caught one of the other guys' eye, and they've seen your work. You don't come in without any experience.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a kid that worked for us. His name is Barrett Brown. He's 18 years old, out of Seven Points, Texas. This kid is one of the most professional workers that I have ever met.
Ah, that's young, 18.
He takes care of his stuff. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but he was one of the first ones to get licensed when we moved into Missouri and ran shows there. He has his Mississippi license, and he's not even booked on the show, but he wanted to be ready. We've got a show coming up June 1st in Meridian, Mississippi. He knew that show was coming up, so he wanted to make sure he had his stuff together. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of workers that makes it such a pleasure to still be in the business after all these years. You know, you see guys like this who have that passion for the business and have the ability to back it up.
Right.
You know, Barrett Brown's on our TV show this week, and against superstar Steve Fender. Now, Steve's worked a lot of territories. He worked for Harley Race for years in WLW. Steve's a great guy. But Barrett Brown and him had a hell of a match, and it's great. As things have gone, Barrett lost a loser leaves TCW match that he was forced into by Matt Riviera. And it was against the current TCW heavyweight champion, Lance Hoyt. Now, Lance Hoyt is one half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions,
okay,
as Lance Archer. Lance Archer, is also one half of the NWA Tag Team Champions.
That's correct, yep.
And he is currently the TCW Heavyweight Champion. And he will be facing Tommy Dreamer on June 1st.
When I was getting ready for the show tonight, Tom, I did look at the TCW roster, and it really is packed with really, really good wrestlers. We should also point out that Matt Riviera was honored by the Cauliflower Alley Club this year with a Men's Wrestling Award.
Absolutely, and on my show, Carl Lauer was one of my guests when I was out in Vegas, as you were, mm-hmm. and Carl explained that one of the criteria for awarding the Active Men's Wrestler Award was not only their ability to wrestle, but how they handle themselves in the business, and how they promote the business, mm-hmm. and how they carry on the traditions of wrestling, you know, professional wrestling, not sports entertainment, professional wrestling. Matt started out when he was 15 years old making posters for promoters just to get, you know, into the, you know, help out in the business.
He had a foot in the door, that's
business,
right.
So much. Yeah, and you get your foot in the door. He promoted his first show when he was 18.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The 5.5 is not a gimmick. Matt owns his own business, and that's as far as I can go. He's gotten his money, and is using it in a good way to help promote the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was so excited about this week is I found out on Monday that TCW Wrestling truly is international.
What do you mean?
TCW Television is truly international. It was announced this week by our distributor, Octopix Live, in Canada, that we are on the air in Kenya.
Wow.
We are on the air live, well, not live, but, you know, live to tape. We are on the air in Kenya every week, in addition to all the great stations that we appear on in the United States. We're getting new TV station deals every week. This week we're adding Monroe, Louisiana, and El Dorado, Arkansas, to the TCW family. The Fox 14 station there, the Fox affiliate in Monroe, Louisiana, is the newest in the TCW family. We're in 35 million homes around the United States.
Wow, that's a lot. And Tom, is it a weekly television show?
It's a one-hour weekly show, mm-hmm. And when we do our live events, we do international. We call it's an international TV taping, and we come by that honestly because we are internationally distributed. Our next international TV taping is Saturday night, June the 1st, about mm-hmm. 4 weeks away, in Meridian, Mississippi. This is our first time in Meridian, but we are on TV in Meridian, so everybody in Meridian is, you know, they've been asking for a long time, when's TCW going to come to Mississippi? And we are fortunate to have some great partners down there, and we're fortunate to have a genius in the business working for TCW. He's our director, our vice president of talent relations, and his name is Tom Parker. Tom has been in the business for years and years and years. He's worked for Bill Watts. He's worked for all the promoters in the South, and has worked for WCW, and now works for TCW as our director of talent relations. We're so fortunate to have him because he is one of the things he does is TV acquisition in the domestic market. He's beaten the bushes for all the TV stations. He says, if I got their number, I'm going to call them. And that is how we've expanded to 35 million homes in the United States.
Well, now, you yourself are the director of live events for Traditional Championship Wrestling. What are some of your responsibilities?
My responsibilities are I handle the licensing for all the wrestlers, make sure that they're all licensed. The day of the show, arena set up, I don't physically get involved in setting up chairs and everything else. I've done that before. But I'm the go-to guy if anybody has questions the day of the show. We have a production meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning because, you know, it is a TV taping. So we have to talk about what we're doing on TV and the things that, you know, we've got coming up. We make sure that everything is ready when we go. You know, when we come through the curtains. We have meet and greets, VIP meet and greets for those who purchase the front row, second row, third row, you know, VIP seats. That's before anybody else gets into the building. In the case of Meridian, our VIP meet and greets at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And Tommy Dreamer, Lance Hoyt, all of the stars with TCW, Vordell Walker, who just appeared on the Wrestling Cares event last Saturday in Los Angeles for Les Thatcher and Nigel McGuinness and David Jackson.
I heard that was a success.
Oh, it was. There were a couple people that follow TCW that were out there, flew out to Los Angeles to see the show, and it was just unbelievable. And having the opportunity to talk to Les a little bit afterwards, he said it was everything we expected and more. Because each of these shows that they're doing in the Wrestling Cares and the each of those shows in the tournament, they're doing as a fundraising for a charity for that event. The first one was the Scott Schwartz Foundation, and they raised money for that. It was like a who's who as far as wrestlers go out there. And from what I understand, it was an overwhelming success. Hopefully, because the tournament's going to be moving around, we may have a couple of matches in TCW in that tournament. The tournament will come to us because they're going to be taking it on the road. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get that negotiated and show not only the talents of TCW, but you know the wrestlers that they've got involved in it. One of our junior heavyweights, Sigmund, is in the race for the ring, I believe they call it.
Well, you know, obviously TCW is doing very well, and you have a great roster. What are some of the challenges that TCW still faces?
I would say sustaining the level, you know, we set the bar pretty high for ourselves. One of the challenges is maintaining that level of intensity in some cases and keeping the fans interested. We did a show at the end of March in Springfield, Missouri at the historic Shrine Mosque. We had a great crowd there. They were there, and it was just a great night. 2 weeks later, we were in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Another promotion had, you know, we run Fort Smith three or four times a year. We're at the convention center. A rival promotion who is also on TV ran a show there a month before we ran. They drew about 250 people.
Okay.
1 month later, we ran in exactly the same place, the Fort Smith Convention Center. We had 750 people.
Oh, wow. Big difference.
Now, I think it speaks to the product that we're putting out there, that we are wrestling, you know, the way it used to be. You see the banners on our TV show. It's TCW Wrestling, where tradition lives on. And it is, you know, Matt grew up in old school. I grew up old school. It is by far too easy to do shortcuts and gimmick, you know, a lot of gimmicky matches and things like that. We're family oriented. We always have been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we've got anything to say about it, we always will be. We want to be able to present a product that parents aren't afraid to bring their kids to. I think other promotions have found that they needed to get back towards that direction, but it was a direction that we've always been in.
I was going to ask you, you know, you say other promotions. Of course, the one that comes to mind is World Wrestling Entertainment, and being a PG brand product now, what are your thoughts on the wrestling that they present?
It's hard to do 5 hours of live TV and another hour of syndicated, or 2 hours of syndicated,
mm-hmm.
a week. That's a lot of product.
Yeah, it is.
If you take a stopwatch and you click it and see how much actual in-ring action there is in their three-hour program or their two-hour program, you might be surprised. It would be tough because I honestly believe you would wear people out if you had just match after match after match after match, mm-hmm. without having a backstory or, you know, setting it up so that the people would understand where they're at here.
Sure, there's got to be some drama. There's got to be some story.
Yeah. Well, and TCW has that as well. I mean, you know, we have, in general, we have three matches for our hour of programming. Generally, in that 1 hour, there's 12 minutes commercial, so that leaves us 48 minutes with opening, you know, the opening of the show and, you know, backstage interviews and everything else. We still manage to pack about 34 minutes of wrestling in.
That's very good for an hour program. That's very good.
Yeah. And so it's a slippery slope sometimes, because when you do a TV taping like this, you've got a lot of money invested in the back of the house. You know, setting up the TV equipment, you know, a cameraman, everything else. So you want to be able to get as much as you can for each event. We do 4 hours of TV at every live event. Guarantee at least 12 matches, a dark match. The secret is, and we found this to be true in Fort Smith, it would be very easy to burn the people out.
Yeah.
You know, they get tired. We've managed to build into the show a little bit the ability to keep their interest piqued, to vary the types of matches and the sort, so that when they get to match 12, they're still rocking.
That's hard to do. That is a lot of matches.
We've experimented, and trust me, it's gone the other way before. You know, there were a couple of times when we really didn't have the crowd with us at the end, mm-hmm. That we had at the beginning. But we've done some modification. You know, we tweaked the product a little bit, and the live event is truly an experience that the people enjoy.
And you do the ring announcing for all the matches?
Yes, I do.
You have so much experience, and you like being in front of the camera. You'll get nervous once in a while?
If you don't get the rush, the little bit of excitement, then you don't need to be there. Mm-hmm. You need to be excited so that the crowd senses that excitement. But, like you said, I've done it for so long. It is second nature to me, but I never take it for granted.
That's a good point.
I never, ever forget, as I walk around the ring the first time each night and shake the hands of the fans and welcome them and thank them for coming out and being a part of PCW television. I do that because I truly am thankful for everybody that comes out to mm-hmm. our shows. It gives us a chance to show off. And if you didn't want to show off a little bit, you wouldn't be in this business.
That's true.
As a ring announcer, I can't climb up on the turnbuckles and throw my hand up in the air and do those things. But I can get them engaged. I can set the tone for when the first two guys come through the curtain. If I do that right, we have a great night. If I don't do that right, people are sitting on their hands and the guy's coming out and they're going, "What the heck happened? We got a full house, but they're not doing anything."
Yeah, that's something I need to work on, and it's not just about announcing heights and weights.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I don't do heights. It people tend to question your ability to measure if the only one I do is Titan, and he's my buddy. He's the Bradford family. He is legit 7'2" and 375 pounds.
That is
and
a big
he's
man.
The only one that I announce their height on.
Let me ask you, Tom, for someone who's loved the business as long as you have and been in the business, what are your thoughts on the fact that it's been exposed, really, over the past 10 or 15 years, with a lot of the shoot interview DVDs, the books that are written in? How do you feel, there's certainly more challenges now, I think, in storytelling because people feel like they know it all.
But here's the thing. If you can do your job the right way, people want to be entertained. The fans want to be fans. They don't, you get a few people out there who think they're smart and everything. And for those individuals, I feel sorry for them because they're not coming to be entertained. They're coming to show off. As I say, get themselves over.
Yeah.
I got two guys that dressed up in referee shirts and sat in the front row. I know they're not referees because I know every referee in the state of Arkansas. I know all the referees that I use. I wouldn't use these two guys. These guys are trying to get themselves over.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other 99.9% of the crowd out there, they truly want to be entertained. And if we do our job right, if our guys come out there and give them a solid match that people are going to, I call it the wow factor. If somebody goes, wow, at some point during the match, then you got them. We have done our job.
Yeah.
We've entertained those people, and that's what we're there for.
Tell people again where they can see the TCW product.
You can see TCW at tcwwrestling.com. We have our latest show on our front page every week. We also have a YouTube channel, TCW Wrestling Online. We also have stations from coast to coast, border to border, as Rod Trongard used to say. And we have, and in fact, you can go to our website, tcwwrestling.com, and if you click on the TV info button,
okay,
it tells you exactly where TCW Wrestling is on TV. If you can't see it in your area, you can still watch it without commercials
mm-hmm.
on our webpage, our front page. And our website I'm really proud of it because I have a little hand in keeping it up to date. I also write a column for the webpage, and it's called, you'd never guess what the name of my column is.
I won't even take a guess. Tell me what it is.
Simon Says.
You know, Tom, you're an interesting guy. You've done some refereeing. You've done some booking, ring announcing, writing. No chance at all you put the tights on one day? Just climb into the ring and actually wrestle?
I have wrestled one match.
Okay.
And it was in the MBWA. It was we had what they call the Rookie Rumble. And I was refereeing at the time, so I went under a hood, and I had this karate outfit. And my name was MWN. Now, to this day, you will be the first to know what MWN stood for.
Okay.
It stood for Missouri's Worst Ninja.
Are you 1-0 or 0-1?
It was a battle royal.
Oh, okay.
I lasted more than two-thirds of the guys, and then I had to get out because I had to referee the next match. I could have won it. I seriously could have won it. I've got one match left in me, and I know it's going to happen sometime in the next couple of years. It's going to be a Mean Gene and Hulk Hogan moment. Brother, I got to tell you, you push the ring announcer one time too many, and I've had it. One match left. It may be at CAC. You never know.
It may be. Well, maybe I can ring announce it. You know, I, by the way, before I forget, for TCW, do you guys have a Twitter, a Facebook you want to...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We are all over Twitter. We're at TCW News. Our Facebook is TCW Wrestling. And, of course, our webpage, TCWWrestling.com. We also have a radio show, if I can plug it.
You got it.
Every Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio, we have TCW Radio. It's at 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time. I know you struggle a little bit with this daylight saving time thing. 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and 6 o'clock on the West Coast. 1 hour. Our guests this week were B. Brian Blair, Brian Thompson, who is our color analyst, All That Alan Steele, who is one of our wrestlers and part of a tag team called Genetic Perfection, and one of our agents, beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Oh, very nice.
Those were the guests on my show this week.
That was all one show?
That was all in one show, yeah. It's a one-hour show, and we're archived on Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/TCW Radio. And you can listen to all the shows that we've done up till now. I will tell you, it must have been true that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because that show is, they had some technical issues with it, and you can hear about half of it, and the other half, what we're working on right now is trying to get the audio from my TV camera that we had set up there at the table.
Okay.
And trying to sweeten that back up. But in the meantime, we continue to have guests every week. Next week, I believe we're going to have Vordell Walker. And before the 1st of June, 1 week, we will have Tommy Dreamer on the show, since he's coming into Meridian, Mississippi. In the near future, in TCW, you will see Zach Gowan, you will see Rob Conway, and you will see Jake the Snake Roberts in the next 3 months.
Outstanding.
July, August, and September.
Really impressed with what you've done with TCW. Obviously, the promotion is doing well. And we'll make sure we post all of these links to, you know, the YouTube channel, the Facebook, the Twitter, the radio show. We'll get all that online here at OWW Radio. Before I let you go, Tom, I wanted to say, I thought it was nice you mentioned Larry Matisik earlier. We had him on the program a few weeks ago. Did you get a chance to read his book, The 50 Greatest Professional Wrestlers of All Time?
I not only read it, I've got it on my shelf along with his other books. The one book, Wrestling at the Chase, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the name of the other book. Drawing Heat the Hard Way.
Oh, right. That's right.
Was the other book of his. And you know, Larry and I talk from time to time. When I get back in St. Louis, that's one of the people that I get to see. I make a point to see Larry every time I get into St. Louis, because he, like I said, he and I have known each other for 38 years.
Yeah. Well, a little longer than you and I, but
it's scary.
I loved having Larry on the show. I thought the book was fantastic.
Oh, it is. One last thing. We announced this week that we are going to be opening the Tennessee State Fair this year.
Huh.
The first weekend in September. We are going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, at the fairgrounds, and opening the Tennessee State Fair. That's one that I'm really proud of. So TCW Wrestling eventually will be coming to a town near you.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for joining me today. Again, congratulations to TCW, wishing you all continued success, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
David, thank you, my friend, and it's good to talk to you again. I'll see you in Vegas, and I'll probably see you before.
That sounds good. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
And don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thank you again to Tom Simon, the Director of Live Events for Traditional Championship Wrestling, for joining me today. We hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's okay.